Juliette Kayyem is a former undersecretary for Homeland Security. She's author of the new book, Security Mom, an unclassified guide to protecting our homeland and your home. And she told me there's a lot of surveillance that you see on the marathon route this year, and some you don't.
There's aerial surveillance through drones. There are typically issues related to chemical, biological identification. So, you know, in terms of if there's anything in the air, there are surveillance cameras on site at various places. Because what people have to remember is that it's not 26.2 miles that have to be secured. It's 52.4. In this city, the marathon is on both sides of the street. And so that's just a lot of essentially runway that you have to protect.
One thing I'm really curious about is in this year's Boston Marathon course, there was some technology that was used to actually take baseline readings of radiation from
yes.
Hopkinton to Boston. How's that work?
It's being done through helicopters and aerial testing. It reinforces what's being done on the ground. Let me just calm people down. There's just no specific credible threat for, you know, a dirty bomb or anything of that magnitude. But aerial surveillance of baseline activity, whether it's radiological or otherwise, is not the best way to do it. And there's actually on-ground assets that have always been at the marathon through the National Guard that are monitoring it as well.
Now, it's been 3 years since the Boston bombing, and I sort of imagine that marathon planners for this year may have thought they could relax a bit. But even just since last year's marathon, there have been major attacks in Paris, San Bernardino, and Brussels. What does that say about the ability to ever sort of let up or relax or ever really fully protect these giant public events?
So you're not going to ever fully protect major events or all soft targets, whether it was in Paris with a bar or a concert hall or even a marathon. And that's sort of the theme of my book and the way that I want people to understand safety and security in this day and age. We are too porous and open of a country, let alone a city that is embracing, you know, tens of thousands of runners and spectators today to get the vulnerabilities to zero. What we do know how to do well is during events, high profile events, what we call mega events in security planning, we do know how to secure places that might be vulnerable, in particular the finish line for the Boston Marathon. In terms of this letting up, I think the Boston Marathon will have a strong security presence for the foreseeable future. There'll be a time when the bombings are not at the forefront of everyone's sort of narrative of the Boston Marathon. We see it, look, in just a few months, we're having the 15th anniversary of September 11th. And, you know, it's just not at the forefront of our narrative anymore.
Juliette, you're a security expert. You worked in government at a time where there were all sorts of disasters, from the BP oil spill to the Christmas underwear bomber. You're also a parent. Do you honestly think your family is significantly less safe now than it was a decade ago?
The notion that there's some moment in which we're safe and there's some white flag hanging over the United States saying, oh, we're all clear now, is just, I think it's sort of a delusional way to think about the risks we have as a nation. I haven't even talked about gun issues, right, which is one of the major risks here. So I talk about our safety and security in terms of are we safer and have we minimized the risk? I think that is true, though the risk has changed. The kind of terrorism risk that we have today is the kind we saw at the Boston Marathon. No safety and security apparatus is going to stop every guy or brothers that are going to radicalize and have access to guns or weaponry and go to some soft or semi-soft target as the marathon was 3 years ago. And I think we do have to brace ourselves for that and also invest in the response and preparedness apparatus that got us Boston strong.
It was interesting to read in your book another cliche that you sort of disabuse us of, which is the keep calm
yeah.
and carry on campaign poster from World War II in Britain. As you point out, the whole thing never really happened.
Yeah. And this is the poster that has sort of made its way. And there's all variations of, you know, of it, like keep calm and call me maybe and things like that. And it actually turns out that it was part of a very aggressive World War II public education campaign that Churchill never allowed to happen. The posters were made and Churchill said he didn't want this slogan to go out. They reemerged in 2005 when a bookstore owner was going through some old boxes and he sees these posters and he absolutely loved them. He put them up. Some people wanted to buy them and then eventually they were a global phenomenon.
What didn't Churchill like about it?
Because it was too passive. because resiliency is actually active. It is actually investments, planning, training, preparedness. It's not the stiff upper lip. And he knew that for his citizens who were under a true existential threat. He knew the men had to stay in London and keep the engines of commerce going. He knew women had to go to work. They had to say goodbye to their children who were sent out to the countryside. Resiliency is not sitting back in your chair and saying, well, what will be. And I think people should remember that.
Juliet Kayyem is a former Undersecretary for Homeland Security. She's the author of a new book, Security Mom, An Unclassified Guide to Protecting Our Homeland and Your Home. Thanks, Juliet.
Thank you.